Hi, I'm Ruby Ryder. Welcome to Pegging Paradise podcast number 177 on November 28th, 2017. Changing the world one ass at a time. If you enjoy and appreciate my work and you want to help me spread the word about pegging, consider becoming a patron of mine so I can spend more time doing podcasts, answering questions, writing articles, and recording those videos for people interested in pegging everywhere. Just go to patreon.com/rubyryder, or you can click the support my work button on the right-hand side of my website. Remember, there is an extraordinary and carefully curated selection of body-safe, non-toxic toys, and they can be purchased from the Little Black Dress of Pleasure products, Entice Me. Just go to enticeme.com, #RubyRyder, and be sure to use that coupon code RYDER for 15% off of your purchase. That's RYDER. You will be supporting Pegging Paradise with every purchase you make. First things first, let's do a Patreon update.
Yes.
First of all, Michelle Renee pledged $5 a month, and I have to give a shout out to Michelle Renee because this is the same Michelle Renee who has a blog called sexaftermarriage.org, where she shares from the heart about her relationship, about her discoveries sexually, about all kinds of things. And you may recall that this is the same Michelle of the infamous Pegging Gangbang podcast, right? I know a bunch of you guys remember that one because you can't stop talking about it. So thank you, Michelle Renee, for that generous pledge. I so appreciate it. Also, Sarah pledged $5 a month. Sarah, thank you for your generosity. Really appreciate your support. Alwyn pledged $3 a month. Alwyn, thank you very much for choosing to support Pegging Paradise. Joe is now a patron for $1 a month. Joe, thank you, thank you, thank you. All of this support means so much to me, and I am not even done yet. Tom pledged $3 a month. Tom, thanks so much for your generous pledge. And last but very much not least, Lulu Joe pledged $20 a month. Thank you all very, very much. Warms my heart that you would choose to support Pegging Paradise with your hard-earned dollars. So thanks once again for becoming patrons of Pegging Paradise. Okay, a little bit of news here, a little bit of politics. Remember a long time ago, the HB2 bathroom bill in North Carolina, right? I talked about it a lot on podcast number 130 because it was so disturbing. Basically, what happened is North Carolina revised their anti-discrimination laws to include protections for sexual identity, and gender expression. And there was a backlash to that, which resulted in the HB2 bathroom bill, which unfortunately passed. And what it did was it required people to use the bathroom that corresponded to the biological gender on their birth certificate, which really discriminated against trans people. It was horrendous. Now, I did talk about that, as I said, back in podcast number 130, and that bill was repealed in March of 2017, but because it did pass, there were other states that wrote copycat bills, like in Virginia. Bob Marshall of Virginia wrote a bathroom bill for that state that would have regulated where transgender people can use the bathroom in government buildings. The bill died in committee. So that's all the background to the punchline here, which is just so fucking awesome, because it's been a couple of podcasts since the elections happened. Headlining everything in my world was that trans woman Danica Rome defeated anti-LGBTQ candidate Bob Marshall in Virginia, becoming the first trans state legislator in America. So this is like karma. This is like, oh my God. Here we are. The man who wrote an anti-trans bathroom bill for Virginia just lost the election to a trans woman. So let that sink in for a little bit, everybody. Wow. I really, really liked what Danica Rome said when they asked her, "So now that you've won, you know, what do you have to say about your opponent?" And she said, "Well, he's a constituent of mine now, and I never speak badly about constituents." Classy lady, gotta say. So yes, that made my world much happier on that day. And there were all kinds of other wonderful things that happened across the board in terms of electing different people, gay, lesbian, trans, all kinds of different people. Yeah, it was a good election from my side of the board, and I don't usually talk too much about politics, but there you go. That's my little slice for once in a long while. Now, let's get to your letters. Morning, Ruby. It's a pleasure to be able to write you. I live in Puerto Rico, and after Hurricane Maria, I'm still with no power at home after 47 days and no internet connection. I was lucky enough to be able to listen to some of your podcast at night. I was able to listen to some of your episode, and I became a fan of yours. Love your stories and the way you answer people's doubts. I've never been pegged before, but I'm very curious about it, and after listening to your podcast, I'm getting even more interested. Keep doing your amazing job. My respect, Javier, from Puerto Rico. Which is just the sweetest thing to receive, and oh my gosh, poor guy in Puerto Rico. And I wrote him back, "Javier, thanks for your sweet message. I can't imagine what you must be dealing with there in Puerto Rico. I wish our president didn't have his head so far up his ass and would do something to help you all. There are other and better things to put up your ass," laugh out loud. "Glad you are enjoying the podcast. Let me know when you have power again. All the best, Ruby." So, you know, I just said that I was done with politics, but clearly I just slipped a little bit more in there. Let's move on to the next letter. It's pegging celebration time. Thanks to your Pegging Paradise website, podcasts, and reassurance pages, I was finally able to work up the courage to confess my longtime fantasy to my beautiful wife and convince her to try pegging. Everyone else who harbors this fantasy in secret from your significant other, don't waste another minute. My wife comes from a conservative family and is very vanilla, and the absolute last person I would have thought would be willing to play along. She discovered my secret stash of toys a few months back, and I was forced to come clean. She was more upset that I had kept it secret from her, but understood the guilt and shame associated with it. And I love her all the more for being so accepting. That gave me the final bit of courage to broach the subject of pegging, which I did one night, literally trembling and my heart hammering in my chest. She was initially, I guess, about the whole thing, and in my excitement, I immediately ordered a rodeo harness for her. But once it arrived and she had everything on, she felt awkward and completely lost her nerve. It's been over a month since that clumsy attempt. Ruby's podcast saved me. We listened to it together, and she felt much better about the whole venture. She still had some nervousness and trepidation, but we set a firm date and spent some time reading over the other material on Pegging Paradise. Last night, it all came together. It was everything I hoped for and more. Amazing, intensely pleasurable, intimate, hands down, one of our best sex nights ever. She was amazing, confident, tender, and enthusiastic at all the right moments, hoping for many more occurrences in the future. Thank you, Ruby Ryder. Oh, this makes me so happy. What a great story. And I'm quite sure you're referring to podcast number 112. There's been a lot of success with that podcast, I have to admit. That was a ringer, and I do have hopes to soon record one for the men. It's not uncommon for there to be more areas of concern, unease, and fears connected with pegging. So that's why it's an awesome thing to listen to podcast number 112. Because even if you have someone who is totally down with the whole thing, and it's sort of remedial and they're listening going, yeah, I got it. Well, at least you've covered all the bases. And if you have someone who really needs to hear those reassurances and needs to know the different things, like how the learning curve is very steep and all that, yeah, you got a little eager there. It's like, yeah, let's do the harness and let's do this thing. Education, it's always good if you can do a little bit more education to begin with. But I'm so happy that it ended up so great. All of those adjectives that you threw in there about the experience were very heartwarming and encouraging and, yes, celebratory. So I was very happy to play the music for you too. Congratulations, and keep on pegging. Thanks so much for that wonderful message you wrote for me. Okay, next letter. This is from the inventor from podcast number 155. Hi, Ruby. Your podcasts are informative and entertaining as always. Your terminology could use some assistance. Kleenex is the term for all brands of facial tissue. Rubber is a description that can be applied to many substances as well. PVC has carried your drinking water to you for many decades. It's not porous. Unless you have an autoclave or use a pressure cooker, you have never sterilized a toy. You may have cleaned them, disinfected them, or even sanitized them. Oh, and being strung up is pretty much like being tied to a bondage cross, not being suspended. It is really quite comfortable. P.S. I've been a tech for both of the major sterilizer manufacturers with over 35 years of experience. Wow, I feel like I just got lectured too. I can't promise I'll take all that in, but thank you for trying to correct my terminology. Let's start with the first one. Kleenex is the term used for all brands of facial tissue. Well, if you want to, sure, but I can always call it tissue if I want to. I mean, come on. Kleenex is a brand name, and I don't know whether I want to use it or not. Is it an accepted term for all brands of facial tissue? Yes. But Kleenex is like, okay, tissue is also fine. Rubber is a description that can be applied to many substances as well. Yes, it is. The next one, PVC has carried your drinking water to you for many decades. It's not porous. Okay, but I'm not talking about people making sex toys out of solid PVC. There is PVC in it, and that's what they list as an ingredient. So when I say it has PVC, the softness of the toys makes it porous. So yes, I'm well aware that it is not the pipes that carry drinking water, okay? But this is what they list as an ingredient in the material that they make their toys from. So I'm just going by what they say. And point taken, I do not have an autoclave or a pressure cooker, and so apparently I am not sterilizing a toy. Probably disinfecting them is a better word to use, choosing from your suggestions. And being strung up is pretty much like being tied to a bondage cross, not being suspended. Okay, so that's the difference between those two. I'm not really all that much into either. It's kind of fun to tie someone to a bondage cross, but it's not my favorite way to restrain someone. So it looks like your opinion is that being suspended is quite comfortable. That's what I hear when it's done correctly. So thank you for trying to correct my terminology. I take it all with a grain of salt. And I'm trying to let go of the feeling of being lectured to. But I do appreciate corrections. I really do. And sometimes when you're way deep into a certain industry with all kinds of experience, yes, it reminds me of how long I've done massage and having people talk about their massage therapist in the wrong gender because it's masseuse or masseur. And so they have a male massage therapist, and they call them a masseuse. So yes, it reminds me a little bit of that. So thank you for writing in and correcting me with all of those. Here's the next letter. First, I love, love, love your podcast, partly because of your content, but mostly because of who you are. I can see that you are a very kind and caring person. You have such a gentle spirit. These are just a few of the things that endear me to your podcast and to who you are. Thanks for sacrificing a part of your life to add to so many other lives. You make a difference. Now to my question. I imagine you have covered this in one of your podcasts, but I have not found it. Could you explain how to clean yourself out before anal play? When I have anal sex with my girlfriend, things remain rather clean without any internal pre-cleaning. However, it does not seem to be the same for me. When she plays with toys on me, it does not seem to be as clean. I purchased an anal enema that connects to the shower. She has used it multiple times. She likes it to get herself unstuck. but also to clean herself out before we play. The last time we played, we took turns cleaning ourselves out using the shower attachment. And then he has a link of a nozzle that screws on to, like, a shower massage tube, if you will. And he goes on to say, I went through about 8 cycles and didn't seem to get all clean. Now I see I probably should have left the water in longer for each cycle. But still, that's a lot of cycles. Maybe it shoots up too far and cleans out more than what is required. She did it next. I'm not sure how she did it. We started to play. I put some 1.5-inch anal beads in her and then put a plug in. She was over my face as I gave her oral sex. I was working the plug in and out of her as I felt something on my neck. I thought, maybe hoped, it was the anal bead's metal pull ring. However, I will spare you the details. It wasn't. Fast forward, and my girlfriend went to the bathroom to clean up. She pulled the anal beads out, and I guess it was quite a mess. We were fortunate I didn't pull them out in the bed while she was straddling me and I was giving her oral. Anyway, she is a bit hesitant to do any anal cleaning. It seemed to make things worse rather than better. I'm thinking we should have given it time for the liquid to settle before we started playing. We could continue down the path of trial and error. However, the error can be rather bad, so I would rather get some professional advice from someone that has had some success. Yes, I did try asking Google first. However, it didn't seem like the authors had much more experience. They also didn't seem to provide many details. I imagine you have been down this path many times. As always, I respect, appreciate, and value your opinion. I also want to know if plain water is okay, or if there should be something mixed in for the last few cycles. My girlfriend was concerned that plain water may mess with the internal chemical balance. And this is from Lance. So, Lance, here's the deal. First thing I'm going to do is put a link to the article that I wrote about that, which is called Keep It Clean, People. And I wrote it a long time ago on my blog. I have updated it. In the beginning, I used to recommend enemas, but I don't anymore. And I don't unless you are doing some pretty deep pegging with a long toy. So here's the deal. First of all, no, you really don't need to clean up so high. The only thing you really need to rinse out is your rectal canal. This is for people who don't use really long toys, okay? Because basically that is the only part that's seeing any action. This is why every once in a while when you don't do any clean out beforehand, you might see just a little bit of mess on the tip of the dildo. And that's because what it's doing is pushing into that sphincter that separates the rectal canal from the colon. Because that sphincter, that's its job, is to hold the excrement in there, okay? So most people can have a relatively clean experience without cleaning anything but the rectal canal. How do you do that? You do it with a rectal bulb syringe. We saw one at enticeme.com. It's called the ErgoFlow Director Bulb Syringe, and it's a really Cadillac version of a rectal bulb syringe. You can get a cheap one in a drugstore with a hard plastic tip. This one has a number of advantages, one being it has a long silicone nozzle, which can be sterilized, but the whole thing is silicone. And it also has a check valve to help prevent sucking the dirty water back in after you've evacuated it into your rectal canal. So the point is with the rectal bulb syringe is that you're using smaller amounts of water rather than the larger amount of water that you would usually have for an enema. Most people find that's totally fine. And you mentioned how you've done anal sex with your girlfriend and it's been pretty clean and she hasn't done anything at all. There are people like that. The younger the person, the more that seems to be true. Also, if a person is really, really regular, has a good diet with lots of roughage in it, and all of that's working perfectly fine, which normally happens when you're younger rather than as you get older, then you know if there's something in there or not. You know if you're clean or not. So I'm not surprised that without any cleaning at all, that she seemed to be clean, but apparently the same didn't seem to be true for you. And so if you use that rectal bulb syringe, give that a try and then see how clean that keeps it. What happened is that you put enough water in there for it to be a full enema. Normally when people use those tubes that you can connect to the shower, what they do is just put the water up against the anal sphincter, as opposed to sticking it all the way inside you. Because if you stick it all the way inside you, then you're just doing basically a full enema. And if that's what you want to do, that's fine. But here's the rules if you want to put that much water inside you. You never ever go straight to play because the water gets stuck in the folds of the colon, okay? And as you move around and as you do things, it makes its way out. The more you put in there, the more you're going to have to evacuate it a couple of times, not just right after you let it all out like you do in the shower, but more when you have walked around a bit, and you'll find once or twice more you're going to let out a little bit more because it's worked its way out of the body because of the motion of your body loosens it, and then it comes out. So of course you don't want that happening during sexy times. So what you want to do is do that enema if you choose to clean out that thoroughly at least 2 hours before you play, not right before. And that should solve the problem. So that's what happened with you guys. It sounds like you just both took showers, you both used the nozzle, and then, whoa, you know, not such a good thing. That's the key to cleaning out if you're going to put that much water inside you. But as I say, I don't recommend that as a necessary step. Some people like enema. Some people, it's kind of a sexy thing and it turns them on and it's sort of like enema play, if you will. And for those people, awesome. I'm sure they know their way around an enema better than I do. But the rectal bulb syringe should be sufficient. Now, when you ask about if you can put plain tap water in there, I think plain tap water is fine. If you're a purist, you can get purified water and put a tiny little bit of salt in it and use the recipes that you could probably find on the internet so that it doesn't disturb the internal chemistry of your system. But I have never had anybody have any issues because of using tap water. So unless you're a purist, I wouldn't worry about it at all. Plus, when you use tap water, and especially if you're in the shower, it's easy to get at the right temperature. Also, I wanted to touch on that you did 8 cycles. Normally, it doesn't take 8 cycles. It usually takes only 3 or 4. Now, I'm not sure how many it takes if you do a full-on enema. I wouldn't think that it would take more than a couple of those. But like I say, you're loosening stuff from way, way up there. I think with the force of the water, what you did is you put a whole lot of water in your system, and it's going to rinse everything out. And that's what's going to happen. So yeah, hopefully your future encounters will be nice and clean and you won't run into the same issue. That was a close call with the girlfriend. So there you go. That's basically the information that I have. I'll put links to the article in the Linkorama as well as that ErgoFlow Director Bulb Syringe for you to check out. Thanks for writing in and good luck to you. And guess what time it is? Pegging celebration time! Hi, Ruby. I just wanted to share my story. You really must take credit for it. Your articles have helped me out so much. Thanks. My wife isn't into anal play for herself. She doesn't really feel comfortable in any way. Being a pussy man, this doesn't bother me, but made it less easy to bring it up when I felt the need to express my personal needs, since she has a totally different view on her rear exit entrance. Over the time we have been together, she knew I sometimes needed some time alone, and I would go into the bathroom and fuck myself with my collection of dildos, but most of the time I don't come. Afterwards, we would fuck together, and life was good. She never expressed any need of knowing what my collection was or even where I kept it. There wasn't even the slightest of interest. That was okay, but as so many here, once you get to know what you like, I guess you want to share this part too. What did it for me, the change from doing it alone to finally doing it together, I mean, was talking about it. For me, pegging isn't something you do when you're drunk or can be done in a hurry. I need preparation to clean so it's not messy and enjoyable for her too, and she needs preparation to get into the mood. Because she already knew I needed it and also do it in between our nightly sexual encounters, we've got 4 kids, I figured I'd just tell her how much I enjoy it and how my routine is, leaving out any gory details, of course. I'm not lying when I say I'm thinking about her when I'm alone stuffing my ass. So while fucking her, I made sure to tell her how horny I was while being alone earlier that day. I could always tell that made her wetter than anything. I occasionally worked in some fantasy that she would catch me in the act and we'd continue together. In reality, this freaked me out. This is not the way it works in real life, but the fantasy of it turned her on also. I decided to buy a harness and told her I had done that in my excitement. I made sure to keep her informed of any toys or accessories I'd buy, more or less asking her permission to continue doing so. Breaking the news of wanting her to peg me, though, was a little more difficult. My heart was throbbing in my chest and my mouth was so dry, I kept sipping my water for what looked like forever. I told her we would best set a date, not too long in the future, so we could both prepare. It was a little different that I had in mind. I was so nervous. She felt weird about it, and the harness felt weird. I had inserted a smaller dildo to not freak her out. That part worked out good, but I couldn't get real pleasure from it. I even felt like I pressured her too much into it. After a few minutes, we tossed it in the corner and went for our regular routine. Over the last few months, we have had more talks about it. I've totally accepted myself being obsessed with anal play, and whenever she notices a batch of freshly washed towels on the bed, she knows I've been, quote, working out, end quote. Most of the time, this is the best moment for fucking because I'm horny as hell. Acceptance for what needs the other partner has is very important. A while ago, I asked her again if we could make arrangements to be alone, and we would render each other's favors, making very clear what her favor to me would be. So on this day, I told her I needed some time to prepare, clean out, and laid everything out on the bed, most prominent and not shying away from the dildo I wanted her to fuck me with. I made sure I had a smaller one within reach, just in case. "So you want the big boy?" she said mischievously. No going back, I thought, and after some foreplay, I suggested that she would do my favor first, and I would have plenty of energy to return several of hers. She really took control, and it was the most playful and wonderful moment. I felt no shame or anxiety of being there and being on the receiving end, instead of being the dominant partner, which I normally am. Being on speaking terms about everything is most important, I think. If this is your kink or thing, make sure your partner knows it, and you feel confident to talk about it, and make sure not to pressure her into it. And that's the end of the letter. Well, congratulations, you two. Yes, after a little bit of a rocky start. You know, there's so many things that can not go wrong, because that's a strong word for what you guys went through. It was more like there were some areas of uncomfortable stuff. I love how open you were with her about how you love playing with your own ass and having your alone time and slowly sharing that more and more with her. But that moment, that must have been an amazing moment for you when she said, "So you want the big boy?" That must have been really fun. And I have heard other people echo the concern about not freaking their partner out if they use big toys to play with, especially during your first time of doing the pegging, because some of the concerns the women have are, am I going to hurt him? Perhaps because they've had a painful experience receiving anal sex themselves. So if you just throw this humongous toy on there, it can absolutely be a little bit intimidating. And depending on the size of the toy, it can be a little bit difficult to wield. So yes, congratulations, you two. Thanks so much for writing in and telling the story. Okay, next letter. Hi there. I came across your concept of forcing a man to suffer through reading one of your erotic stories whilst in chastity, then being pegged from behind. I have just started a new BDSM relationship with a dominant woman and would be willing to try this. Please get back to me and we can talk more about it. I'd be interested to hear your exact idea for the scenario. Both of us are very keen on pegging and chastity, as well as orgasm control and denial. There are very little limits between us. Wow, so this one was really fun to receive because this is one of my fantasies recently, and here would be the scenario that I would envision. My scenario would be that my partner is in chastity for a period of time. I'm in control of that period of time. Each night, I would have him read an erotic pegging story to me, and then after he finished the story, I would take out his cock from the cage, play with it, edge him for a while, or order him to edge himself, put it back in the cage, and then service me, whether it be with his mouth or with toys or things like that. At a certain point, his reward would be to stay in the cage but get pegged and see if that can make him have a hands-free orgasm. Just all the sensations of being denied the orgasm, of being constrained by the chastity cage, of being turned on by the erotica, yet you're in the cage so you can't come, and then being fucked while still in the cage. Yes, all of that just turns me on immensely. And I think it would be a nice multi-night, like 7 days straight thing, at the end of which he gets fucked. And probably what I would do, because I so enjoy giving pleasure, is that if I fucked him and he didn't have an orgasm, then I would probably wait one more night and then I'd let him fuck me with the abandon, you know, and maybe have a vibrating butt plug inside his ass while he fucked me and just allow him to take me as primally and roughly as he wanted to after all of that time. I think that would be really fun. It'd be really hot. That's the first thing that comes to mind in terms of what scenario I was thinking about. So there you go. I'm not sure if you expected me to get back to you on my podcast, but I'm going to send you an email to let you know that this is where I responded to you, and thank you so much for the question. My next letter is a comment on I need a woman to peg me, and this is on my Pegging Paradise website. I remember my first time, and it was nerve-wracking at first, but the woman I was with respected me and slowly worked me up to it. I never believed I would enjoy it, but I did. My problem now is my current relationship with this girl I'm absolutely in love with is very conservative when it comes to experimenting. She said she would do it for me, but that is not the reason I want her to. I want her to want to do it. She understands it is something I am really into, but I can tell she is not fully into it. She has played with dildos on me, but it is the whole strap-on part that she is uncertain about. I would really appreciate some advice on the situation. Okay, number one piece of advice is listen to podcast number 112. See if you think it is appropriate for her, because you're the only person that can decide that, and if it is, you two can sit and listen to it together, maybe after a nice dinner and a couple of glasses of wine or something like that. And my next piece of advice is to go slow with this. What it sounds like to me is that of course you want her to be enthusiastic. Of course you do. Nobody wants to be in bed with someone who's kind of mediocre about it, right? However, this is varsity territory you're exploring here, okay? So let her have some time to get used to it. Remember how I keep saying in my podcast that the learning curve is really steep for a woman because we don't know what the hell we're doing when we fuck someone, and you guys have been doing it your whole lives ever since you became sexual, right? Well, that can create some fears, some uncertainty, just a lack of knowledge because you don't have the skill. I have found that oftentimes women who started off kind of mediocre about it and say, well, I'll do it for you if you want to, do come around. They come around for a variety of reasons, and certainly not all of them. Sometimes they're very much still in that territory of, well, it's okay, I'll do it for you if you really want me to. But other times, something can catch their imagination. Sometimes it's the intensity of the orgasm that catches their imagination. Sometimes they find some underpinnings of dominance that they didn't realize they had. Sometimes they like the idea of maybe combining this, what we just talked about in a previous letter, orgasm denial and chastity cage, or combining BDSM elements with it. It sort of opens up a whole new world. And sometimes it's just the intimacy to watch their partner really lose control, receive, be intimate with them, and have so much vulnerability can be quite addictive. And that can be something that is very inspiring. So give her a little bit of time, but don't abandon all hope because she's not jumping on the bandwagon 100% from the very beginning. It would be awesome if she did, but why don't you try it out and see what you think? Because you can always change your mind. You can always say, you know, I think I'm going to get dildos and suction cups and have a good time myself in the shower, because I can tell you're just really not into this. Also, there's an in-between choice. If she ends up being someone who's really not all that much into it, it's not beyond the scope of reasonable to have things like that that you will do with your partner, and they do it for you because they know you like it. There might be things that she would like you to do for her that you're not all that much into, and you'll do it for her because you know that she likes it. So that's the in-between choice. And that can be a line that you have to draw personally, because I totally get how it's not nearly as much fun if the person isn't really totally into it. But what they might be totally into is just doing what you like as opposed to the act itself, giving you pleasure as opposed to, ooh, this is really fun having this fake cock strapped onto me and I can really fuck the shit out of him. It might not be like that, but it might be like, wow, look how much pleasure I can give this guy that I love so much. So there you go. That would be my advice. Start off with the podcast. And when you listen to that podcast, I go over all of the different things that people many times connect with pegging. Basically, the kinks that are sometimes connected to pegging. Listen to those carefully and think about if there's any of them that appeal to you, and ask her if there's any of them that appeal to her as well. Because on the control end of things, or the sexy end of things, if she's someone who kind of enjoys that contrast of seeing you in a beautiful lacy pair of panties, right? And you have the situation where you could maybe wear that to work or something like that, that could be very much of a turn on for her and have it be like a precursor to you getting fucked that night, right? Oh, see what I mean? You can get creative here and find out if there's ways you could spice it up for her. Oh, and one last way that you can make it be really appealing for her is to show her some of the beautiful harnesses and things that are available for her to wear. In addition, sometimes women really enjoy having beautiful lacy lingerie to wear as an outfit along with the harness and dildo, right? Because it helps them feel more feminine. I don't know if she's having a reaction to that or not, but there are a fair number of women out there that have a reaction to actually strapping on a fake cock. They kind of freak out, and they would like to be reassured of their femininity, and many times a whole bunch of beautiful lingerie draped over their body and you drooling over them will help them do that. In the Linkorama, I am going to put links to the Spare Parts Sasha, the Spare Parts Bella. Those are two harnesses that have garter attachments for stockings, and they're quite feminine and lovely. I'm also going to put a link for the Aslan Leather Minx, which in my opinion is the most beautiful leather harness offered on the market today. And they also have pink and purple colors, and it's pretty amazing. So involving her in the choosing of equipment might be a way you can get her on board a little bit. I mean, it might be hard if she doesn't have much interest to begin with, but if she starts to get it, make sure that if she starts to get on board even a little bit, and you say, well, help me pick out the equipment. Well, I don't know, just get whatever you want. Well, I want you to have something that you like wearing or something that you prefer. I don't want to get something that wouldn't be comfortable for you to have on or wouldn't be something that you would choose. So involve her in the choosing if it gets to that point. And hopefully it will. So there you go. Those are all the things I can think of. Good luck to you, sir. And thank you for writing in. Hey, Ruby, I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. My wife has recently and thankfully become more comfortable with incorporating anal play into our sex life. We don't own a strap-on. On special occasions, she will fuck me holding our dildo in her hand while blowing me or jerking me off, but I know she gets zero pleasure from this. I'd like to incorporate it into actual sex. I own the Tantus Little Flirt, but it doesn't do much for me. Not sure if that's because it's too small or because I need the stimulation of thrusting. We haven't experimented much with sex positions. Are there positions conducive to either her or me hand thrusting the dildo into my ass while we are also doing it PIV, which is penis and vagina? Best regards, Steve. Steve, wow, great question, and I tell you, there are some way cool toys out there for a situation like this. The very first one I thought of is something we don't carry at enticeme.com, but it is a dildo with a handle on the end of it. And so basically it's long. So it's long and you hold it in the handle and you can fuck yourself with it, or she can fuck you with it. So if you're doing missionary, she could be fucking you, which may or may not be difficult. Sometimes that's a little tough. And alternately, if you're fucking her, you could be using the dildo on her ass as well. And it's called, I think there's two or three different models, but basically the word handle is there. And you can go to Tantus and you can put the word handle in their search field and it will come up with all of the dildos they offer that have handles. So that's my first thought. And then my next thought was much more high tech and really fun and easier to use. And that would be they have a butt plug and it has a remote control. So imagine you have the butt plug in. She has the remote, and you are fucking her. And at any time she wants, she can turn it on, she can change the vibrational pattern, she can do all kinds of things. So yes, I would absolutely recommend that, because it's just such a fun thing to have that unexpected. You know, she's got the remote, her hand is where you can't see it, maybe behind you. And she is turning that thing on and off, and depending on what speed or whatever she puts it at, depends on how hard you fuck her, right? And so that would be one I would absolutely recommend. And that butt plug is called the Jeju Nuo. And the advantage to it, should you guys end up exploring into territory like this, is that this butt plug can actually be controlled by an app on her phone. So you can be anywhere, like anywhere. And she can turn that thing on with her phone. And you could be at distance. You could be at work. You could be at the store. You could be doing anything. And she could turn that butt plug on if you were wearing it. And she could use her phone to do it. So that increases the unexpectedness even more, which is thrilling for me. I love that kind of surprise stuff. Plus, clearly there's the element of control there, and I like that part too. And I'm not sure how much she wants to totally be in control of all this, but let's see. So I'm going to put those in the Linkorama, of course. And the last thing I could think of was having some kind of situation where you had a suction cup dildo, but I kind of discounted that because the placement of the suction cup dildo would have to be just perfect for you to back up onto that and then go forward and fuck her. So probably not a doable thing, just a fantasy thing. So forget that one. The butt plug that you mentioned that you have, the Tantus Little Flirt, is tiny. It is so, so, so tiny that I can't even begin to describe how tiny it is. A lot of people who have that say they can't even keep it in because, you know, at the moment when you clench your stomach muscles, when you get really excited, it pops out. So yes, not surprised you don't get a whole lot of pleasure out of that. I think you will be pleasantly surprised at the feeling of vibrations against your prostate with a proper plug that stays in. The Jeju Nuo is not the only one. Lela makes one called the Hugo. The Hugo is different in that it kind of wraps around a little bit. Well, let me explain. There's a part that goes inside your ass, but there's also sort of a arm of it, if you will, that extends out under your perineum. So you get vibrations in both places. Plus, even though the Hugo remote does not work at distance like an app, well, like the Jeju Nuo, what it does do is it has a function called sense motion. And what that means is that while that's in your ass, when you have it in the sense motion mode, your wife can move that around, meaning she can move the remote around and it causes corresponding vibrations in your ass. So, you know, picture this. You guys are sitting at home. You've got the butt plug in. And you're watching TV, who knows, she picks up that remote and shakes it, and you're like, whoa, or, you know, any other of a whole bunch of different scenarios. You could be out having dinner at a restaurant. And I know that, you know, I always go off into the clandestine public stimulation and stuff like that, and I know you were specifically talking about PIV, but it'd be a cool thing for PIV, too, because you could just be doing regular PIV missionary, right? But you could just reach over to the pillow and take that remote and shake it around and cause you a thrill. So yeah, those are the two that I would recommend. I will put the links, of course, on the Linkorama. Please let me know what you get and how it works and what you think. Thanks for the interesting question. That was a fun one. So hey, that wraps it up. You can find my work at peggingparadise.com, where I have my blogs, my podcast, my erotica, and the forum. On pegging101.com, you will find informational pegging articles only with no kink. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps, which you can find a sampling of under the tab Follow on my website for both Android and iPhones. You can also stream my podcast directly from my website. The follow tab has links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, and check out my Facebook page. If you order some sexy new toys from enticeme.com, please remember to use that coupon code RIDER for 15% off of your entire purchase. Send your questions to ruby@peggingparadise.com. No question is too ridiculous, too remedial, or too radical. Many listeners are going to learn along with you, so don't be shy. Throw those questions in my mailbox, or you can call me at 805-500-6544. That's 805-500-6544. Thanks for downloading and listening, everyone. You rock. Happy pegging.